From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. We've got a great show for you today. Big shout out to Hezbollah for helping us avoid the midsummer news hole doldrums. Thanks, guys. But first, we got a lot of mail in response to an item on last week's show in which we talked about the website of an Italian power company called Power Gen Italia. A bunch of listeners wrote in and saying, no, this is a hoax. It never happened. Well, we double-checked, and it turns out it is real, or it was, as were the other odd websites that we mentioned. Folks, if there's one thing I hoped you all had learned from listening to the show over the years, it's that with the world the way it is, we don't have to make stuff up. Let me show you what I mean. Give us a call, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Rusty May from North Fort Myers, Florida.
Hey, Rusty May, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Now, does North Fort Myers differ a lot from just regular old Fort Myers?
It's a lot less expensive on this side of the river.
There you go. And what do you do there?
I'm a Lutheran minister.
You're a Lutheran minister. Should I address you as Rusty, Reverend Rusty? What do you prefer?
Rusty's fine.
Rusty. Rusty, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Rusty. I'm born and raised a Roman Catholic, and will be interested to know we once had a Pope Rusty.
Next, say hello to the reliable sorceress of the Washington Post, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hi, Rusty. Now, are you a good Lutheran with some Minnesota roots?
No, I am an East Coast Lutheran from upstate New York.
Do you still have casseroles?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And you can't be a Lutheran without Jell-O and casseroles and all of those good-tasting things.
I feel much better.
It was really hard for Martin Luther to nail the 99 casseroles to the door of the cathedral.
And lastly, say hello to NPR National Desk reporter, Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hi, Luke.
Hi, Rusty. So you are Lutheran, I guess.
Yes.
How is it you're not calling into a Prairie Home Companion?
No, I do listen to that faithfully.
Which is the only way you really can, I guess.
I was about to say, he doesn't guess he's a Lutheran. Unitarians guess they're Unitarians, but Lutherans pretty much know. All right, Rusty, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle will start us off by reading you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize, Carl's Voice in Your Home Answering Machine. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Now, for your first quote, Carl and I are going to reenact an exchange from a joint presidential press conference on Tuesday. In this exchange, I will play the president, Carl will be the special guest, and keep in mind that the word na'am means yes in Arabic. So here we go. I'll start.
Na'am.
Okay, you start.
Na'am.
You want to start? Go ahead.
Na'am, na'am.
So who was the special guest who couldn't quite get his message across to President Bush?
That was the Prime Minister Maliki from Iraq.
Very good. Yes, Prime Minister Maliki. After warming up the assembled press corps with that classic comic routine, Prime Minister Maliki and President Bush finally answered some questions, and then the Prime Minister went and made a speech before a joint session of Congress. Some think that the speech was actually written by the White House, particularly because he opened with a joke about Laura pestering him about his mountain biking. And then Prime Minister Maliki said, quote, "When the Iraqis stand up, we will stand down."
Plus, he mispronounced nuclear in Arabic.
Now, Luke, you were saying earlier that you were actually at the speech, right?
I was there, and it was amazing because they had a guy doing the translation for everybody there because the speech was in Arabic, and this guy was about to plots. He was in advanced hyperventilation the entire time, so he was translating, "We will stand with America." And every time the prime minister would take a break, the guy would say something off mic in Arabic, like, "Get somebody else in here, I'm about to die."
Maybe he was actually saying, I don't speak Arabic. Get somebody else.
I'm making this up.
That might be an accurate translation.
Well, very good. Very good, Rusty. Now, let us move on then to your next quote.
Oh, say it ain't so, Floyd. Say it ain't so.
That was a blogger named Bob LeDrew, one of the many people expressing dismay at the news that a man named Floyd Landis may have cheated when he did what?
When he won the bike race in France, the Tour de France.
Right, exactly. Yes. It was such a great story. Homely guy named Floyd. Just like Lance Armstrong, he conquers severe medical problems.
Grew up among the Amish.
Yes, and actually the Mennonites.
Yes.
Conquers severe medical problems to win the Tour de France, thereby allowing Americans to pretend to care about bicycling for another year. But this week, his team announced that he had tested positive during the race for abnormally high levels of testosterone, to which we Americans say, well, if you prissy little Europeans can't handle our flowing rivers of male sex hormone, that's your problem. Many sad things about the story, including the fact that Landis's own mother threw him under the bus. She told the AP, quote, if the allegations are true, then he doesn't deserve to win, unquote.
They're stern, I'm telling you.
They're stern. His parents, apparently, this is among the many things that he had to triumph over to achieve his success, was the fact that his Mennonite parents really did not approve of his choice of career. They were so down on the idea of being a professional cyclist.
Well,
so
I could see if it was NASCAR, but what do they have against bicycles?
This is, well, they just were, they actually, when he was a kid and racing in his first races, they made him race in long pants because it was more modest.
But how would excess testosterone help you in biking, necessarily?
Well, there was this beautiful woman about a mile and a half down the road.
In that interview with the AP, I was reading it today, and his mom said, I'm going to wait until after this hits the fan. That's not your daddy's Mennonite faith, is it? This hits the fan. She basically made an oblique reference to, you know, scatological.
And a direct reference to fans. Which
which they also don't do.
Well, actually, we've been horribly misrepresenting the Mennonites. They're not the Amish. They don't drive buggies. They do have cars. But they don't listen to the radio, so they'll never know. All right, Reverend, let us go to your last quote.
Holy cow. I know he was spotted at a gay bar with a friend a few weeks ago, but I thought he was there just for fun. Crushed.
That was Corinne Miller of the Washington Post, one of the many young women devastated to hear this week that a particular boy band member is gay. Who is it?
Lance Bass.
Very good. Mr. Bass says he hid his secret for years because he knew the thousands of teeny bopper fans of the band NSYNC would be upset. And as for all their many male fans, well, that's not really relevant, is it? He says he's very happy to be out and is in a healthy relationship with another man. And Ricky Martin says, hey, why are all you people looking at me? Carl, how did Rusty do in our quiz?
Rusty did very well, Peter. Reverend Rusty, you had 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Very well done, Rusty. Congratulations.
Oh, I guess I should have told her. I thought she knew.
We want to remind everybody that they can join us here nearly every week at the Chase Auditorium in Chicago. For tickets and more information, go to chicagopublicradio.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org.